Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. Beloved congregation, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The word of God for this morning service, this first service in the new year, is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 14. Exodus 14. We read there, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are bewildered by the land, the wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart, so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Also he took 600 choice chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, camping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians, whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen." And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. And he took off their chariot wheels, so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen." And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth, while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us now sing Psalter 332, stanzas 1 and 2. The sermon this morning is taken from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 29, where we read, "By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned." Beloved congregation, I would also extend to you my best wishes for the new year. I pray that we may all have a truly happy, and happy means truly blessed, new year, that we may experience the goodness of the Lord in our families and in our own individual lives, as well as a congregation of the Lord. I have chosen for my sermon this morning that passage from Hebrews 11. There the apostle, writing to these Hebrew Christians, was concerned that some of the people there, the new Christians, were so frightened by the enemy that they might apostatize, that they might go back to their old religion, which was Judaism. And he warns them, but not only does he warn them, but he also encourages them that they should persevere in the faith. They had embraced the Lord Jesus Christ. They were believers in him, trusting in him, but the challenges were so tremendous that some of them were wavering. And so he comes up with all those examples from the Old Testament of believers who were faithful to the Lord and who persevered in their faith. And most of the examples he gives were of individuals, beginning with Abel and Noah and Abraham. He went through the whole Old Testament citing these examples that they should follow of men and women. Sarah, for instance, also is mentioned, and Rahab, the harlot, that they should follow the example of these saints of old. But there is also one instance of the faithfulness that is mentioned in connection not with individuals but with the whole nation, with Israel. It says in our text, "By faith they," that is the people of Israel, collectively, "they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned." And so that will be our theme this morning, the faith of Israel at the Red Sea. And we will see how this faith is, first of all, stirred up by Moses, secondly, exercised by the Israelites, and thirdly, how it is crowned by the Lord. The background, of course, to our text is that story that we have read from Exodus 14. And there we learn that Israel, at that moment, was free. They had been delivered from the Egyptians, from Pharaoh and his taskmasters, after 430 years of slavery, more or less. The early period was not bad, of course, when Joseph was still living, but for the most part they had been slaves. And now finally God's chosen people are on their way to Canaan, the promised land. It is a huge crowd, some 2 million men and women and children. They are marching in a northwestern direction, led by the pillar of cloud, the symbol of God's presence among his people. Israel is confident that all will be well now. Soon they will be in Canaan. But when they come to a little place called Etham, about 200 kilometers from Canaan's border, Moses gives orders to turn around and to head south again. Now this must have come to them as a big surprise. This they had not expected. But when they notice that that pillar of cloud also is pointing southeast, they follow, although not without some misgivings. What could this mean? After a long trek, they arrive at a place called Pi Hahiroth, on the shores of the Red Sea. And here Moses gives orders to camp for the night and to rest. Soon the supper is being prepared by the women, and the people are wondering, what does all this mean? Why this detour? Suddenly a cry of alarm is heard. Someone is pointing back along the way they have just come. Far in the distance, a cloud of dust is rising. And in the center of that cloud, there are moving figures, men on horseback, chariots, the Egyptians. Pharaoh has changed his mind. He is sorry to have allowed his Hebrew slaves to leave, and now he is determined to bring them back. And when the Israelites see those chariots rushing toward them, they become terrified. What can they do? Shut in between the great fortress Migdol on the right and the mountain range on the left, and facing the Red Sea, they are caught in a trap. Soon they will be captives again. And remembering the cruelty of their former masters, they know what to expect. In their fear and panic, they confront Moses and they begin to accuse him. Why did you bring us out to this place? Was it that we should die in this wilderness? Were there not enough graves in Egypt? We might as well have perished there. What a difficult time this is for Moses. This is only the beginning. We will read again and again in the later history of Israel, while they were in the wilderness, that they did this repeatedly. They blamed all their problems on Moses and Aaron, and ultimately, of course, on God. But Moses here sees that indeed they are in trouble. And he too has seen the enemy coming, of course. He also knows what will happen to him if they are caught by Pharaoh. Yet it appears that Moses is not afraid. Israel's leader is sure that the Lord has not brought his people this far to let them perish. And so, this is what he says. Fear not. Fear not. He does that to reassure the people that all will be well. Fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you this day. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you won't see them again anymore, forever. The Lord is going to fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. You shall be quiet. Now, notice that Moses does not argue with the people. He does not try to defend himself against their false accusations. Instead, he turns their minds away from the danger that is facing them, and he directs them to the Lord. He focuses their attention on Jehovah. They had lifted up their eyes and they had looked at the Egyptians coming, and therefore they were afraid, understandably. But now Moses tells them to look at something else, namely at the salvation that the Lord is going to bring for them. And that was needed for them, but that is also needed for us. Namely, we all need the eye of faith, because this salvation that the Lord is going to bring about requires faith that he will indeed do so. Now, nothing as yet could be seen of that salvation. All they faced now was an impossible situation. But Moses does not live by sight, at least not right here, but by faith. Of course, by nature he was no different from the people that he was serving. All of us are that way, that we, left to ourselves, do not have that eye of faith. We, like Moses and like the people there, are only people that, if we look only at the circumstances in which we are, can only be afraid. But Moses had learned, and I hope that we also have learned or are learning it, the language of faith. And now, with that language of faith, he stirs up the faith of his people. He himself has faith, but he wants them also to have faith. Now, to be sure, Israel was not entirely without faith. After all, during that night of the 10th plague, they had put their trust in that blood of the lamb that they had to put on their doors of their homes, and as they ate the Passover, that required faith. But Israel's faith was still very weak and inexperienced. And that is why Hosea says in his prophecy, speaking for the Lord, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. At this point, Israel is still immature. It was a young nation whose faith in God had not been tried yet. Israel could not cope with heavy blows yet. What they were facing now was the first of a series of heavy trials, and they had to learn to depend on the Lord and on him alone. And now Moses has calmed Israel's fears and given it new hope. Faith has been revived, as it were. Faith in the Lord's almighty power. And beloved, I mention all this because this is what you and I need as well. From time to time, we also need to be stirred up by God's servants, the pastors, or by one another, because our faith, let's face it, is often very weak as well. How often we experience similar situations as God's people here, as they are standing at the Red Sea, when we are first delivered from the power of sin and Satan, then we often have that love in our hearts, that the nearness of the Lord. We are amazed at His grace, and we think that from now on everything will go well. But no sooner are we on the way to the heavenly Canaan, or who comes after us but the devil, and he will try to bring his former slaves back under his tyranny. We are not rid of the devil immediately after our salvation. Satan will do his utmost to lure us away from the way that leads to heaven. And do you know what is the sad thing about this? Well, that the devil also has an ally right here in our heart. Our sinful flesh and blood, our old nature, is so often in league with the evil one, so that when he comes to us with his temptations, there is often a willingness to entertain his suggestions and even to follow his direction. What a struggle that can be between the new life in us, created by God, and that old life, that old Adamic nature. It still is very weak, and it needs constantly to be strengthened and to be encouraged and to stirred up. How often we face our Red Sea, where everything threatens to destroy us. Then we cry out to God, but often out of a very weak faith, doubting whether the Lord will come to our aid. And that is why we need that encouragement again that Moses here gives to his fearful people. Fear not. Stop being afraid. Stand still. The Lord is going to fight for you. And you must hold your peace. You must be silent. Now that isn't easy, to stand still and to keep quiet when in such difficult circumstances. And yet that is what the Lord asks from us, congregation. For salvation is of the Lord. It was He, after all, who had delivered Israel out of Egypt after those 10 horrible plagues. It is He who is going to defend Israel against the power of Pharaoh and his mighty hosts. And so you and I also must look to Him and trust in Him, that He who has saved us without our help will also defend us without our assistance. We need to look away from our circumstances, and we must learn to focus our eyes on our God, our Almighty God. We must learn to sing, "My soul in silence waits for God, my Savior He has proved. He only is my rock and tower, I never shall be moved." And congregation, only if this quiet confidence is experienced, we are ready to continue on our pilgrimage to heaven also in the year that lies before us. And so it was with Israel as well. Having quieted the fears of his people, Moses now receives the command of the Lord to go forward. This is what it says. The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward." And forward they go, in faith. Amazing, but that's what happens. And we see that in the second place when we look at the faith that is exercised by Israel. Israel must go forward. And that was something for them to hear that command. Behind them, there are those chariots of Egypt. On the right and on the left, they are cut off by a fortress and a mountain. And so forward, you know what that means? It means walking right into the sea. When that command to go forward comes to them, there was not yet a path through the sea. When they get ready to march again, the circumstances are as bad as when they began to cry to Moses. Nothing had changed yet. But there was this difference. They now are obedient to the command from the Lord given to them through Moses. They have faith. They have faith in God that He will provide a way of escape for them. They have no idea what that will be, but they will see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord will fight for them. And now Israel receives three commands, actually, standing at the Red Sea. The first one is, fear not. Don't be afraid. Stand still. The second command is, see the salvation of the Lord. And the third one is, go forward. Now, it is important, congregation, that we recognize a certain order here, a divine order. All too often, we don't pay attention to what seems to us the small details in Scripture. But what we learn here is this. We are not ready to go forward along the path of duty until we have seen by faith the salvation of the Lord. But we will never see the salvation of the Lord until our fears are removed and we stand still and turn from all self-efforts and stop relying on flesh and blood. God calls us to go forward. Also, this morning, as we are going into this new year, the year that lies stretched out before us, that new year will undoubtedly bring us new challenges and new difficulties. Seemingly insurmountable problems face us. And some of you may already facing your own Red Sea. It was there last night and the whole year before that. It is now with you also in 2013. The difficulties that many of us face are of various kinds. Some of you have sicknesses to contend with. Some chronic illnesses are in the congregation. Some of you may have financial problems. Your business is not going well. Some of you have family issues, struggles between husbands and wives maybe, and between parents and children. You face so many troubles and you are so discouraged also this morning because you have no reason to expect that things will be different. The same situation that prevailed last year in not only your own life and in your own family, in your church, but also in the country, in the nation, in the world. Things are continuing, and sometimes we have reason to fear that it will even get worse. And yet the command of the Lord comes. And it is not just a hard command, it is a direction that the Lord wants us to go in because He wants to help us. And so He said, go forward in faith. No matter what difficulties may arise and may already be present right now, no matter how high the waves may surge up against you, go forward. That is the word of God for us also for 2013. Now some of you will say, Pastor, that's easy to say. Sure, you have to say that. You're a pastor. You got to talk about these things. But if only you knew my situation. When I think of the future, my heart sinks. That's what some of you are thinking. What can I do, therefore, you say, when troubles round me swell, when fears and dangers throng, as the psalmist also experienced it? Well, you can do two things. You can, first of all, stand still. That means give up trying to solve your problems in your own way, because it will not work. You can only get yourself into worse troubles. Stand still, the Lord says. Well, that does not mean, of course, fold your arms and sit back and just wait. Some people interpret it this way. They say, well, the Lord has to do it, and there's nothing that I can do or need to do. I'll just wait. No, that is not true. You do not fold your arms in that passive way, but you can and you should fold your hands and get down on your knees and cry out to the Lord. Tell Him all your troubles. Unburden yourself to Him and hold nothing back. But again, you may say, I have done that time and again, but my Red Sea is still there. And I do not see a path through that sea yet. All right. That means then that you are ready for the next command. And see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you. That is what it means to believe. Does it not? It means to trust that the Lord will undertake for you. It means to be confident that although you do not see a pathway through the sea right now, but there will be such a path. You know, many people have faith when they see the waters already divided. But God wants us to have faith in Him while the waves and the billows still roar, as they were doing at the Red Sea there. And then, only then you are ready for the final command, and that is to go forward. Go forward. Just as Abraham, when he received that call of God to leave his country and his family, then it says he went out of Chaldea, not knowing where he went. And so Israel is commanded here to go forward through the sea that is still stretched out before them. I picture it this way, that in all probability it was not until their feet actually touched the water that the Lord cut a path through the sea, and not till then. It wasn't like this, that the Lord opened a way through the sea and that they actually saw that and that then they went in. No, it was at the very last moment, we may be sure. And so it is still in the life of faith. Do you have that faith? Do I have it? If we are still struggling with this and do not see a way out for ourselves, cry out to the Lord to give us that faith. And maybe we had it at one time, but right now we seem to have lost it. Well, ask Him then to revive it, to stir it up again in us. And that can only be when we plead the promises of the Lord, also the promise of our text. Because the Lord says, I will fight for you. And if we rely on that promise, then you and I can go forward again also into this new year. And we can face whatever comes our way. Well, that's how it happened here. As soon as Israel gets up and heads for the shore of the sea, God causes a mighty east wind to blow, and what a storm it turns out to be. Tremendous. It roars in from the east with a great fury, throwing up huge clouds of sand in the desert and lashing the Red Sea with a foaming mass of white-capped waves. Some of you may have seen those pictures of that hurricane, that flood that came in New Jersey there a few weeks ago. Huge waves destroying the shorelines, houses, cars, and many things. Well, here also, maybe even a greater storm took place. And standing on the shore with his rod in his outstretched hand, Moses watches the awesome scene unfold. Moses realizes that this is no ordinary storm. He sees that God is working through that wind. He's cutting a path through the sea on behalf of his people. And down, down goes the water until the sea bottom is uncovered, and straight ahead from shore to shore is now a wide strip of dry land, visible. "Forward," cries Moses, knowing that God has made a way of escape for his people. "Forward," cry the leaders of Israel, passing on the word of command to those that were at a distance. "Forward, everybody must go forward." And there they go. The first ones step on to the strange wind-swept avenue. Soon others follow, while many thousands line the shore waiting for their turn. And what happens then to the pillar of cloud which had led the way? That's very important to see this too. This pillar, which is called the angel of the Lord in this story, that pillar moves toward the back, toward the Egyptians, and forms a barrier between the Egyptians and the Israelites. And like a mighty shield, it protects God's people from their enemies, while its dark side faces the Egyptians. In other words, it comes against them. The other side is light. The light shines upon the path that is cleft for them, the Israelites, and makes it possible for them to see what they are going through. With this light, it illumines the path through which the Israelites make their way to safety. God fights for these people, his people. The dark side, that is a symbol of God's wrath, preventing the enemy of his people to take as much as one step in their direction. But the light represents God's grace, which is with his own people. How blessed are the people whose God is the Lord, because he has set his ways of love upon them. He not only saves them from the house of bondage in Egypt, but he sees to it that they are also kept safe from being retaken by the Egyptians. He fights for his people. Congregation, the Lord is willing to do that also for you. Don't you see what a gracious and what a merciful God we have? Nothing is too wonderful for him. But what he wants from you is that you put your trust in him. Nothing pleases him more than faith in his power to save. And such faith he always rewards. And that is what we see in the third place, that we do not know how long it took for those 2 million plus Israelites to make their crossing, but in the end, everyone makes it. Even the animals make it. Not a hoof is left behind. What a sigh of relief goes up from everybody as, looking back, they see the channel is now clear. Everybody has made it across. No one left behind. But then the Egyptians, they see what has happened to the Israelites. They think they can also go through. And to make a long story short, they do not succeed. They drown in the sea as God gives the command to the wind to come back and to let everything fall back into what it was before. And they all drown. And the people of God, they praise the Lord for His mighty works. The Lord has rewarded their faith. Not one Egyptian survives the disaster. Soon the Israelites see the corpses of their enemies wash ashore. God has crowned the faith of Israel. All of them have made it. And all of His people today also will make it to Canaan above. Yes, what happened to Israel is a symbol of what happens to the church of all ages and all places. And the Apostle Paul, he reminds the congregation of Corinth of this wonderful event when he says they all passed through the sea and they all were baptized unto Moses. And our baptism today is also a sign of this. We are separated from Egypt and from the world, and that is a tremendous blessing. But we should also realize what Paul says also in that same chapter in 1 Corinthians. He says, but with many of them God was not well pleased. Now that is a statement that puzzles many people. On the one hand, we hear that all the Israelites, they made it through the Red Sea. And then yet it is also true that not all of them were saved. They all passed through the sea. Yes, they did. And there we have an illustration of the fact that unbelievers often share in the temporal blessings of God's people. They are all of them in the visible church. And we know from Israel later that many of them perished in the wilderness. Why? Well, because of their unbelief. That does not mean, of course, necessarily that all those who died in the wilderness, that they went to hell. But their unbelief, and that is the key here, their unbelief stands as a warning for us that just as they did not enter the earthly Canaan because of their unbelief, so we will not enter the heavenly Canaan if we die in our unbelief. The all-important thing is, therefore, faith. True faith. Simple faith, childlike faith in God's promises and obedience to His commandments. Their faith involved obedience, and it was that when they heard go forward that they did actually go forward. And that comes to us also, that command, go forward, congregation, into this year believing, trusting in God. We face difficulties, many of them. But how do we deal with those difficulties? The temptation often is that we will say, I can't handle it. Being a Christian is so difficult. I think I'll just let it go and I'll be like I was before when I was still an unbeliever. I will go back to Egypt. And that is also what many Israelites later said. They wanted to go back to Egypt when they had such a hard time in the wilderness. But that is the voice of the devil, the tempter, who comes to us. He comes to us as young people also, when often young people see what really Christianity means and living for the Lord means, then they think, well, that is too hard. And they do not see that serving the world and the devil, that is much harder. It may not seem that way, but it turns out in the end to be a disaster. Don't listen to the voice of the tempter. Don't give in to these feelings of discouragement and fear. I know that that lesson has to be learned over and over again. Even experienced Christians, they have their times when they tremble and when they ask, how shall I ever find deliverance? But they also know of the times, and I trust that is true of you also, the times that the Lord does help in such a demonstrable way that we do not doubt it anymore. And then we say, well, the Lord has helped me before, and will he not help me again also in this new year? Then we will see the Red Sea open up before us, and we may safely pass through on dry land. The problems that we face, enormous as they may be, they are not by chance. It was God who placed those difficulties for the Israelites. He placed that upon their path. It was no accident that they were there at that moment. While they had wanted to go straight to Canaan, they were delayed and stood there in this impossible situation. But that was God's work. It was he who opened the way for his people also to go through it. And therefore, as he has made your Red Sea, he can cleave a way through it for you as well. Trust in his unerring wisdom. Rely on his almighty power. Stand still and cast your burdens on the Lord. Go forward with anticipation to his salvation, which he will bring about for you, and actually which he has already brought forward when he sent his own dear Son into the world to suffer and die for our sins, also the sin of unbelief, and that the Lord Jesus Christ has obtained that victory over Satan, sin, and death for you who believe. Cast your burdens on the Lord. He never puts any of those who believe in him to shame. Yes, then we can say with the Apostle Paul, if God be for us, who can be against us? That has been brought to us this morning. That word that tells us of thy almighty power, but also thy great faithfulness towards thy people, that thou wilt never forsake them, that thou wilt always be there to help them. And Lord, how we need that word also in our situation. For our problems are many. Our challenges are so great. The situation in which we find ourselves so often is like that of the Israelites facing that sea. Before it was cleft so that a path was opened for them. And so often, many of us also, we are in that predicament that we see no way out. And maybe some here this morning, listening to this sermon also, thought, how will it ever be different for me? How will my problems be resolved? You have prayed, you have called upon the Lord, but you have not received an answer yet. But just because it has not come yet, that doesn't mean it will not come. Oh, grant also to us that faith in thee, that trust in thy covenant faithfulness, in those promises from which thou wilt never renege, thou wilt never go back on thy word. Oh, Lord, remember the congregation here. Be with each one of us and help us according to our needs and circumstances. Remember the elderly among us, the many sick, the many who have trials that they have been faced with already for a long time. Oh Lord, comfort them, even when thou dost not always remove our cross, thou art able to give us the grace that we may carry it patiently and humbly, trusting for better times to come, if not in this life, then certainly in the next. Lord, go with us then, and may we go forward in faith and in obedience, serving thee, loving thee, and then thou wilt also crown our faith, as thou didst crown it in the case of Israel. Lord, as we go from here to our homes, watch over us, and as we return to work again later this week, and for the rest of this year, bless our labors, and may we do everything to thy glory, to thy honor, and to our own soul's salvation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The doxology is Psalter 420, stanza 5 after the benediction. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.